It's the throne of our heart. It's been the picture and the symbol for the past few weeks. For the past three Sundays, we've asked the question, who rules? And how, for a genuine Christ follower, that the answer to that question is in three little but very powerful words. And those words are, Jesus is Lord. We've been talking about what it means to say those words. And today, I just want to put an exclamation point on those three words as we look again into Colossians, which speaks of the supremacy of Jesus Christ and the mystery that he desires to dwell in us and in the hearts of men. Christ in you, the hope of glory. When you read through Colossians, there's a word that appears, and there's an idea that appears over and over in all four chapters of this little book in the New Testament. And this word and idea concerns how the Lord Jesus gives himself to us, but it also concerns how we give ourselves back to him. And the word is centered around this idea of fullness. Now, check this out. In chapter 1, there's a prayer for the Colossians that they would be filled or get full with the knowledge of God's will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That's what he wants us to be full of. A little further on, it describes how God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus. And at the end of the chapter, the Apostle Paul describes how he has tried his best to present the Word of God in all its fullness. In chapter 2, we read that the hope for these people is that they would have the full riches of complete understanding of the mystery of Christ. A little further on, for in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ. Getting this idea of being full? In chapter 3, there's an assumption that this fullness isn't a one-way thing just from Jesus, but fullness is to flow back from us to him. And Colossians 3:4 says this, when Christ, who is your life, it's just a passing sentence. It's just a passing sentence, but think about it. When Christ, who is your life. Now, wait a minute. I mean, Jesus is a part of my life, but he is my life? Wow. Fullness from us to him. It continues on. It says, whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all or fully in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then again, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, fully with your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. More fullness from us. And then in the final chapter, let your conversation always be full of grace. And then another prayer for the Colossians, that they would stand firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured. What I hope you see here is that the Lord keeps giving himself fully to us, and what he desires is that we will fully give ourselves back to him. You see, that one-time life exchange that happened at the cross, that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. Fully devoted. Fully devoted. When the Christ followers said, Jesus is Lord, they had this idea of full devotion in their minds and hearts. This mystery of Jesus Christ giving himself fully to us and us giving ourselves fully back to him was sometimes compared to the mystery of marriage. Like a wedding covenant where vows are made to each other, in the same way people spoke the words, Jesus is Lord, as if it were wedding vows, a covenant. And in the same way in wedding vows where you say two things, also when people spoke the words, Jesus is Lord, they were also saying two things. Now, how many people in this room are married? Raise your hands. All right. How many people are not married? Raise your hands. Okay. Pretty evenly there. How many of you who are not married would like to be married someday? I think that might be a good idea. All right. How many of you who are not married never, ever want to get married? Stand up here. Stand up on your chair. Never want to get married. and stay with your daddy and mommy forever, right? Right? You told me that, didn't you? You still believe that? All right, good. Good girl. All right. Well, in the next few moments, what I want to describe is fully devoted through the two things that you say in marriage. And I believe whether you're married or you're not married, if you want to be married or if you never want to get married, you're going to hear some things today. They're going to apply to your life and this idea of being fully devoted. All right? So hang in there with me as we begin this. Now take a few seconds and just think of those traditional vows that a couple say to each other in a wedding, right there in front of God and everybody. Remember those words, for better or worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and health, cherish above all others, forsaking all others. Got that? All right, keep that in a little background in your brain there, a little file card. And now let's talk about the two things that are said. And for all you married folks, I'd like you just to remember back to those words that you said, those wedding vows to your husband or to your wife. And for those of you who are not married, let's just imagine that today is your big day. Today is your big day and what you will be saying. And imagine standing there at the marriage altar and imagine what are the two things that you're about to say when you say those I do's. All right, you ready? All right, here we go. The first thing that you're saying on that day is that marriage is better. You're saying marriage is better. You're saying it's better to be together than apart. That's better to be married than for you to be single. In fact, marriage just seems to make everything better. That trip that you took by yourself was just okay, but now that trip is an adventure. And all the sights and sounds are so much more exciting together. And it's just better now that you have someone to share it with. That movie you saw by yourself is now, for some reason, better when you see it together. And that honor you or that reward that you received is so much better with someone to share the joy with. And that's not all. The great thing with marriage is that these things can just keep getting better and better with time. You know, you think your honeymoon is going to be great. You just wait 10 to 15 years from now. It's true. Most of the couples here who've been married 10 years or more will tell you a honeymoon is a too good a thing to waste on newlyweds. It's true. And you know what? It's not just sex that keeps getting better. Other things get better too. It's not to say that being single was bad. I mean, single was good too. It's just that now that everything is twice as good, marriage is better. And the first thing that you're also saying about marriage, you're also saying that it's richer. And I'm not just talking about putting two incomes together, although that is a nice thing. But there are other things that you put together that just makes life richer. You see, you had some pretty good plans and ideas on your own, but now you have somebody who adds their thoughts and their ideas and their personality. And so now your plans and your ideas, they're just fuller now. And you once thought it was a moment to savor while you were sitting there by yourself with your coffee watching the sunrise or sunset, but now you sit next to this beautiful person. And that moment is somehow fuller and richer than before. In fact, all sorts of things in your life will be fuller because you have someone with you to share life. Marriage is richer. In health, you may not know this, but I want to tell you that marriage is healthy. And I'm not just talking about being safe from or the danger of diseases, although that is a good thing. I'm saying that when you're married, you can actually live longer. You know, they actually have studies now showing that people, and especially men, stay healthier and live longer when they're married. They do. There's something about being loved, the way you're loved in marriage, that can make you physically healthier. And it's true in just simple things, just like sleeping. When my wife and I have been gone from home on trips, we realize that we don't sleep as well by ourselves. It's amazing what the security and love found in marriage can do for your health. Marriage brings health. Now, one of the wonderful things that you're saying first about marriage is that you are cherishing or choosing this one person above all others. Above other all other people that you could have chosen, you've chosen them. You're saying that you want this one person alone. You want no other, and that you will love and cherish them forever. It's a wonderful thing to know that you're a prize and she's a catch, and to know that you've been chosen. The other person in your life is going to be devoted to you forever. That's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to be cherished. Now, that's all the first thing that you're saying in marriage. But I said there's just not one thing that you're saying. There's two things that you're saying. And here's the second thing that you're saying in marriage. Sometimes marriage is better, but sometimes it's worse. There's times when marriage is hard. There'll be times when your partner will be really difficult to live with. That habit that you thought and once thought was so cute is now really kind of annoying. I mean, why don't they pick up after themselves? Sometimes your partner will be stubborn and selfish. And listen to this. Sometimes that person who brings you joy will also bring you sorrow. They will hurt your feelings. Sometimes it's not hard things from within, but sometimes it's hard circumstances from outside your marriage. It makes things worse. But it's in those moments that you got to remember that you just didn't say for better. You also said for worse. You didn't say just one thing. You said two things on that day. Sometimes marriage isn't so rich. In fact, sometimes money is a fleeting thing. And you might face some times when the cupboards are running bare and wondering how you're going to pay the next bill. There might be times when there will be adversity in your life to the point of feeling like you want to call it quits. But you didn't say just for richer. You also said for poorer. You said two things on that day, not just one thing. Some of the most difficult times you might face will be when your partner gets sick or physically injured. God forbid it happened to you, but there was a moment when my wife sat beside my hospital bed wondering if life would ever be the same. Those moments, you will both feel helpless, and all you will have to offer is your comfort, your prayers, and your companionship. Because you said not just in health, you also said in sickness. You have to remember, you just didn't say one thing. You said two things, didn't you? And I said earlier that it's a wonderful thing to be chosen and cherished by someone, and it really is. But when you get older, and maybe don't look quite the way you used to look when you were younger, and when she or he doesn't look much like they used to either, and your eyes may start to wander and drift to another. But it's in those moments that you'll have to remind yourself that you just didn't say, I choose this one, but you also said, I forsake all others. You didn't just say one thing, you said two things. Now, nobody in their right mind on their wedding day would stand up here and omit half of their wedding vows. I, Shannon, take you, Sherry, for richer, for health, for better, and until I get tired of you. No way! You just don't say one thing. You say two things. We just celebrated 19 years. There's been two things, hasn't there? There's been two things. Well, all of you Christ followers here, you know it's the same thing in your relationship with Jesus. Life is better with Him. It's richer. And in some ways, it's even healthier. And it's a joy to know that He wants you and He chooses you. But when you met Jesus, you didn't sign up just for one thing, did you? You signed up for two things. See, with Jesus, there'll be times when it's worse and it's hard and it'll be difficult. There are times when things are poor and when you get sick. There may even be moments with Jesus when you just want to throw in the towel and call it quits. But it's at those moments, it's those moments that you have to remember that you just didn't say, I choose and accept Jesus as my Lord. You also said, I forsake and I reject all others for you, Jesus. That's what you said. You just didn't say one thing to Jesus. You said two things. Jesus is Lord. You say two things when you say that. When people back in the first century in the Roman Empire said these words, there was weight to them. There was weight to them. In fact, there were many in the first and second century that were killed because of these words. Why? It wasn't because they served the sick and the dying. They weren't killed for that. They weren't killed because they were kind or they loved their enemies. They were killed because in the midst of the many gods that were worshipped in that polytheistic society of Rome, the Christ followers said this. They said, there is only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body, one spirit, and one hope to which we are called. And in saying Jesus is Lord, they were saying not just one thing, they were saying two things. And so they chose, rather than deny that Jesus is Lord, they chose to die instead. And why was Jesus killed? He wasn't killed because he was a good teacher or a good prophet. He wasn't killed because he defended the poor or healed the sick. He wasn't killed because he showed respect to every human being. No, they killed him because of who he said he was. That's why they killed him. They killed him because he said he was the Son of God. He said he was the Messiah Christ. He said that he was Lord. Jesus is Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. He has fully given himself to you. And he desires us to give ourselves fully back to him. Some of us now know what those three words mean, what they really mean. And you know it's time for you to say those words to Jesus, to tell him, Jesus, you are Lord. Lord over my life and everything. You've fully given yourself. I want to fully give myself back to you. And you know now, when you say that, you're not saying just one thing, but you're saying two things. In the next few moments, we're going to have our worship. And our worship is our time to express our hearts to God, express our faith. It's time for us to respond. And so in these next few moments, in fact, the next two songs, it's really especially a time for those of us who just need to say, Lord, I need to say I'm sorry because I haven't lived, I haven't given myself fully to you, but I want that. And I want to say that you are truly Lord of my life. And so in the next few moments, we just want to say, it might be a time where you need just to step forward. You need to physically somehow show or say that there's something that's changed in you. That maybe there's been belief that's worked into your heart for the first time. And you want to say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He is Lord. For those of us who have already made that one-time life exchange with Jesus, and it's kind of a time of saying, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me for not living fully for you. We have some ways of doing that. Up here, there's these wooden crosses. Again, it's not a place to write down your sins and nail it to the cross. It's to write your name on a piece of paper and to nail it to that cross and say, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but he lives through me and in me. So you can do that as an expression of what God has been working in your heart. Also up here, maybe some of us who are just saying, man, I'm living as fully as I can for the Lord. I'm trying to allow him to live through me. He is my Lord. And I just ask you to join with us in praying, like Paul prayed with the Colossians, that doors for the gospel would be open. And up here there's some black paper, and it's just a place where we can write down places or names where we'd like to see the gospel come. For people's eyes to be open, for places to be changed because of Jesus Christ and the life that he brings.